This is Isaac Benjamin bringing you another season of Scrubs in the Trenches. I spent 2023 training to be a board-certified nurse coach, and I want to share with the world exactly what that means. So this season, I'll cover a variety of topics, and though there won't be any medical or direct coaching advice, I will be causing it like I sees it. This current disease-based model focuses on what's wrong with you instead of focusing on everything that is right with you. My point of view is influenced by over 15 years as a scrub-wearing RN, and I'm ready to shine my light on this complex medical system. I really wanted to change the way people were healed and looked at in this system, but the harder I searched, the more I realized that a lot of people will never be properly served in this current model. That's why I want to be part of something much bigger than me. I want not only to bring more nurses into the nurse coaching role, I also want nurse coaching to be a more accepted modality of healing in this country. I want everyone frustrated with the current medical treatment they are getting to look for a nurse coach as their first alternative choice to insurance guidelines and big pharma. I want to help myself and others be able to truly live and thrive. So follow me on this journey to true healing based on a mind, body, spirit, holistic approach right now. Ode to Pawpaw. Keep climbing that hill. So, everybody says that they don't have a favorite kid, but they know they have a favorite kid, and they're like, definitely know which one. And you're probably not supposed to say you have a favorite grandparent, but mine was Pawpaw, like, no doubt about it. Nothing against any of my other wonderful grandparents, but there was something different about Hillmore. He was such a good man, and even though I definitely don't consider myself religious, like, at all, like, he's the main reason that I stay interested in that Jesus fella. I believe my pawpaw practiced Christianity the correct way. He had a heart of gold and an unreal amount of patience. I know it was not their intention, but it seems like people born in the early 1900s and raised families in the 40s, 50s, and 60s practiced a very real faith and basically perfected reality manifestation, which is like super popular these days. Like, there seemed to be like this shared American vision focused on God and family, and he lived his life off the core principles of the Bible and basically had heaven on earth at least in his 70s and 80s and even up to 90, as far as I could tell. He lived about as good a life as I've seen, and even though it was a simple life, it was definitely a blessed life. And it may sound strange, but like, I can already see that he earned his crown in heaven as he had as close to heaven on earth that I've ever seen a man possess. I honestly thought Pawpaw was going to make it to 100. As far back as I can remember, he just emitted joy and had to like this youthful spirit about him. And even though he couldn't get his butt more than a few inches off the water, I do remember him skiing behind a pontoon boat at the age of 70-something. He was in his mid-80s tubing in the Smoky Mountains, like on a river, before he got sucked into this hydraulic and took him like a second or two to get out. And as he stood up, he said, "Man, I'm getting too old for this." And somewhere in his late 70s or early 80s, he had a stroke in that time. And a few years later, I believe, like, they thought he had a second stroke, but ended up having West Nile virus and was misdiagnosed, so he basically had to survive West Nile virus on his own in his 80s. So, I mean, you know, he was a tough old bird, and, you know, after his stroke and after he had West Nile virus, he had a feeding tube placed, but he always, like, with the goal, like, when he got back home shortly after, would have it removed. And medicine can be a little different in South Georgia. During my pawpaw's final stays, he didn't want a peg tube. He had already had it twice, but after sitting a few weeks on TPN and not dying, and doctors convincing, like, family, he needed this feeding tube like he again reluctantly accepting have another one placed. And another problem was, like, during this time he was on TPN, the University of Georgia went to the Rose Bowl to play Oklahoma that year, and the only doctor in that area that apparently could put in a peg tube was in California having the time of his life, while Paul strung along, hooked up with a pick line to another week of TPN. And I did as much as I could 4+ hours away from him, you know, trying to FaceTime. And one time I noticed they had a non-rebreather on his face, and I won't get too deep into this, but, you know, he had COPD and too much oxygen. Like, a non-rebreather is not good for people with COPD. So it's like I got off the phone and called my mom back and just let her know, like, hey, they need to just get 2 liters nasal cannula in his nose, or his CO2 is going to, you know, get to deadly levels potentially. We need to, you know, 100% oxygen is not the goal for somebody with COPD, but just in South Georgia, it's like, oh, his oxygen's low. It's at 88. We got to, you know, get it to 100, but that actually isn't the right thing to do. And so, you know, just being so far away and not being right there to be like, hey, this is what needs to be done, I kind of had to watch from afar and kind of help navigate as best as I could. And I'll back up for a moment right here to 6 months earlier, because he fell and broke his hip. Like, he was reaching for a salt shaker. I know I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure the song Shake It Like a Salt Shaker killed my pawpaw. But seriously, I was convinced that he wasn't going to be another statistic, and I can't remember exactly, but around 50% of people, 60, I don't know, maybe higher, if they're over 90 and fall and break a hip, like, pretty high percentage you die within the next year if you're over 90 when this happens to you. And just because who Paul was and, you know, how many things he's survived already in his life, I thought he was going to pull through again, but once insurance said he had had enough rehab after his hip being broke, he went back home before he completely healed, and he just didn't get around like he should have. And my dad and his brothers rotated and hired any help they could get for Mama and Pawpaw. But between Mama's dementia and Pawpaw's mobility issues, things began to rapidly deteriorate. So since at this point he isn't moving around very well, and he ended up getting a cold that turned into pneumonia, he began living in the small country hospital that was a few blocks away from his house. Around this time, my mama kept stressing everyone out, falling all over the house. She was always fine, which she would contribute to the fact that one side of her butt was made out of peanut butter and the other side was made out of cheese. But because Mama kept falling on her butt, the three sons felt this was the time to move her into the nursing home attached to the hospital that Pawpaw was at. And the nursing home attached to it, by the way, takes long-term residents with trachs that require ventilators, which I find disgusting. But anyway, once Pawpaw was medically discharged, he agreed to move into the nursing home so Mama wouldn't fight the transition anymore. Upon the move to the nursing home, though, his rib got broken and he suffered a couple days in the new nursing home room until going right back to the hospital to get a chest tube.
And just for a moment, I would like to shine some light on a holiday that I believe does not get enough national recognition. Today, I want to celebrate National AMA Day. The day when we salute you, the a-hole that signed that piece of paper and went to the hospital across the street. After you used your telemetry box like a slingshot and hit that nurse that always has it coming for her right between the eyes like David and Goliath, we appreciate the fact that you no longer want to receive care here. And you're correct. It's the techs and nurses' fault that your hospital food tastes bad. And we understand that we should stop doing chest compressions down the hall in order to rush to you with your Dilaudid after your phone alarm went off to tell you exactly when you are due for your next dose of pain med. RN does not stand for registered nurse in some of these places. It stands for refreshments and narcotics. And you deserve better care. And we're glad you went looking for it. And remember, if you don't get that unrealistic expectation of what a hospital should deliver to you, you can always leave against medical advice and keep searching for the hospital where they treat you exactly like you deserve every time.
Well, doesn't that sound like a fun holiday? I really don't understand why we don't have a screensaver at the hospital for that one yet. And while my papa was tougher than nails, papa would just keep climbing that hill. I remembered when he was 92 and had been hospitalized for a GI bleed, and I went to visit him. We always liked to cut up, so when I was giving him a hard time and said, "Hey, papa, getting old's no fun, is it?" he looked at me with a straight face and said, "Well, it was fun at first." He still had his mind all right up to the point of the very end his body gave out at the age of 94. And he did his best to stick around with us as long as he could, even though it was hurting him, sticking around here. And so at this point in time and space, Pawpaw had been yo-yoed between the hospital and nursing home for a couple of months and agreed to suffer through different procedures and treatments in order to stick around a little bit longer for his wife and family. He verbalized many times that he was ready to go, but those closest to him definitely weren't ready for him to go. I know I wasn't. And at one point, he basically told my dad, his son, to go on his mission trip to Africa, to Uganda, instead of being there when he was probably going to die. And if my dad went on this mission trip, Pawpaw was probably going to die before he got back. And I knew in my gut that my dad would regret it the rest of his life if he got on that plane. I tried to meet him in Colquitt, but he just like couldn't do it. So I drove from Athens, Georgia to Noonan, Georgia, and took him to Colquitt, Georgia to help him and his family put Pawpaw, his dad, on comfort measures. And as we drove up to the hospital and we walked into the hospital room, Pawpaw's face was swollen from the tube feed that his gut was unable to absorb. Since it took so long to get the feeding tube in and he was surviving on TPN for weeks and maybe over a month, I don't even really know, his gut had completely shut down. And so while putting a tube into his stomach did allow us to put tube feed into him, he could no longer digest it. After seeing Pawpaw, my dad told his brother that we needed to stop the tube feed, and at first my uncle had a hard time accepting this because his dad could no longer swallow, but I was able to help him understand that the tubes just weren't helping anymore. Pawpaw was already actively dying. Because his speech was so garbled from fluid buildup, everyone thought Pawpaw was starting to get confused as his speech got more garbled and garbled. But being an experienced nurse, I was able to understand what he was trying to communicate. And the first thing he asked me was, "Where's Sarah?" which is my wife. He didn't really care about me. And I explained that she was at home with the kids and doing well. And then I was able to directly ask him if he was ready for some medicine to make him comfortable and to stop all the aggressive treatment. And he said yes. At this time, I proceeded out to my car and began bawling my brains out until a family member knocked on the window and asked me to come back inside to discuss Pawpaw's wishes with the doctor. They asked the doctor to come in, and I spoke for my family and for Pawpaw and asked if we could just start making him comfortable. And before I knew it, the nurse had given Pawpaw some Ativan in his IV, and I had already had my last conversation with my Pawpaw before I even realized it. And during my Pawpaw's final week, once he's been on comfort measures were put in place, you know, they were giving him Ativan on a pretty regular schedule, and he hung around sleeping in the hospital, breathing real hard while my family and loved ones came and visited. And apparently about halfway, he made it about 5 days. So let's say on Wednesday, he just, you know, was surrounded by family and friends, and they were just talking, and next thing I know, he just was letting out a big, like, uh-huh, like he was agreeing with them, and then just started going off to snoring again. And part of me regrets not pushing home hospice a little harder than I did, because he really just wanted to go back in his home and die peacefully at his house. But because they had just gotten Mama into the nursing home, they didn't want to fight that battle all over again once he was gone. And only, you know, only for her to go back with him, to go back to the nursing home. Nobody, they just, I mean, that is, I understand that's difficult. And so he, his whole life was always willing to sacrifice himself for the ones he loved the most. And so he did it one last time. At the funeral, the preacher said something that still really means a lot to me to this day. He was a new preacher at their church and didn't know Pawpaw extremely well. But after meeting all of Pawpaw's children and grandchildren, he made the observation that every one of his descendants seemed to radiate love. The preacher pointed out the fact that that's a learned trait, and it's obvious how it started with Pawpaw's example of how to be an amazing human being. And I don't claim to know exactly where my Pawpaw is right now, but I'm pretty sure he's somewhere being amazing. So join me next time as I wrap up this series on enlightened endings and share with you how I would want to be treated at the end of my journey by my family and loved ones, to hopefully get you thinking about how you actually want to be treated when your time's up. And if you enjoyed today's episode of Scrubs in the Trenches, then I'd love for you to check out my other medical entertainment at www.scrubsinthetrenches.com. And if you're curious about a holistic nursing approach on health coaching or how palliative coaching can help support you with some of life's hardest decisions, then please check out my website at www.higherreflectioncoaching.com. I'd love to connect with you and find out how I can support you wherever you may be right now and get you and your loved ones where you all want to be. I envision a future where people are empowered by the medical and personal choices they make. There are a lot of factors that have gotten us to where we are right now, but only you can choose to do better for yourself. We all have the potential to radically improve the quality of our lives right now and the endings of our loved ones when that time comes. So reach out to me for your free health or palliative consultation anytime you like.